It says Daf Ayin Aleph. So we got to the last two lines of Ayin. I mean, Beis, the Gemara was quoting a pasuk with respect to Karban Pesach and made a drasha about the word bo. So Gemara now says, once we've already started making a drasha about bo, let's understand in a different context. The Gemara says, "Hashta the Amr's bo le drasha who da'asa." Now that we've established the word bo is coming to make a drasha that this, but not something else. So Gemara wants to know when it says "Kol benecha lo yochal bo," when benecha can't eat it. So what is that coming to teach us? What's that drasha? Now this is in the context of Karban Pesach as well. It says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe Aaron zos chukasa Pesach." Kol ben nechar lo yochabal. So what's Bo teaching us? Lamli says Gemara, Bo hamaris das poselis. When it comes to Karban Pesach, a person who is a hamer das, a person who's a mumer of some sort, so he is disqualified from eating the Karban Pesach, as opposed to ein hamaris das poselis b'maiser. But a person who's a mumer of some sort, he may eat maiser. Says Rashi in the top here, hamaris das poselis dim hamer dato v'nisnachru me'asav la'aviv shemeshmaim. He became foreign, if you will. He's a Jew, but he became like a nachri. He acts like a nachri. Amrachmana lo yocha about bo. Don't eat the Karban Pesach, but he may eat a meiser. So Gemara then says two lines down, v'chol arel lo yochal bo as well. This also in the context of Karban Pesach. What's the drasha here? Chol arel lo yochal bo, lamali. Bo eino ochel aval ochelu b'matzah umarur. So an arel may not eat Karban Pesach, but he may eat matzah and marur. So Gemara says, v'itzrich l'michtav arel. Vitrach lemichtav kol benecha. How come we have to teach two different psukim, two different drashas, that Arel's puzzle and benechar's puzzle? Couldn't you learn one from the next, that neither one can eat the Karban Pesach? Why have to have both drashas? Have one and learn the other one from that. So Gemara explains, you need both these psukim because the kasi rachmana Arel mishum demaris, and Arel is something disgusting. That person doesn't have a mila, even though he didn't have a choice, and even though it's because his brothers were died having a mila, it's still called maus, and that's why he can't have this. About ben nechar, a person who's hamaris das, he's not maus. He's not maus. His actions aren't good, but he's not a body that's maus. And delo maus emalo, maybe he would not be disqualified for eating Karban Pesach. That's why we have to say even a kol ben nechar. Ben nechar is aser to eat the Karban Pesach. Now ikas the rachmana. Kol ben Nechar, have we only taught that then? Mishum de'ein libo l'shemayim, because this guy doesn't care for Hashem. So that's why he's disqualified from eating the Karban Pesach. Aval Ariel, granted he doesn't have a mila, but at the end of the day, his machshava is Ariel de'libo l'shemayim, aim alone. Maybe he should not be excluded, and maybe he should be able to eat the Karban Pesach. Tzricha, to teach me that both an Ariel and a ben Nechar, neither one are allowed to eat the Karban Pesach for two different reasons. And I think Gemara says, and the Gemara just leaves us one line here, doesn't elaborate. Mimenu, mimenu, lamali. What are these words teaching us? Similar to bo. What's it says in the word mimenu in the pasuk? It says, al tochlo mimenu no, uvashim avusha b'mayim kim tzili. So it says that menu once. Then it says again, lo so sir mimenu. So what do you learn from the words mimenu? And the Gemara just tells us, wait till later on in the Gemara, the Chedrabba Amrab Yitzhak, with Rashi says, and daf ayin dalad, the Gemara is going to explain what does mimenu teach us. We have to leave that just aside. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara says, we said in yesterday's daf, that there's machlokas about the reasoning of why we said that the Ariel may not eat truma. So according to the Tanakhama, which we discussed yesterday, was a gzera shava tosha v'sachir. Rabbi Kiva says you don't need a gzera shava tosha v'sachir to teach me an Ariel can't eat truma. We learn it from the pasuk itself. What does the pasuk say? So Amar Rabbi Kiva Omer Einot Sarach. You don't need the gzera shava. Harehu Omer Ish Ish. The pasuk says Ish Ish in yesterday's and last week's parsha. It says Ish Ish Mizera Aaron and v'chulei. It goes on to say. Tame nefesh o isha sheteta midme shechazera. I missed the key line. The kadashim lo yochal, he can't eat ad she yitar, asher yitar, but no ge b'chol tame nefesh and so on. So one who's tame can eat truma. So what does ish ish double lashon teach me? Says Rabbi Kiva, it's telling me that ish ish is l'rabos as ha'ariel, and ariel also may not eat truma. He's considered ketame, and you don't need the gezer shava of toshav v'sachar. So now the Gemara says, how come we're coming to include an Ariel that's possible from eating Chuma? Ema l'rabos es ha'onin. Maybe we should say one who's an Onin, he's the one who should not be eating Chuma. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chenil, similar to what we saw yesterday's daf, Amar Krav, the pasuk says, v'chol zar. A zar may not eat Chuma. Zaros, amarti l'cha, v'lo aninus. Only a zar is disqualified from eating Chuma, but an Onin may eat Chuma. So that's how we know an Onin may eat. And from the previous pasuk, Ishish, we know an Ariel may not eat Shuma. So Ema, why are we saying one excludes the other? Is there no rhyme or reason? Ema, lo arelis. Maybe we should say, a Zar is possible from eating Shuma, but an Ariel is not possible from eating Shuma. So Haksiv Ishish, no Ishish coming to include. So again, there's one pasuk that includes and one pasuk that excludes. The question is, why are we choosing to include an Ariel to the Psul and exclude an onen from the psul, and others a onen meid. Why do we choose this way and that way? So similar to what we saw yesterday's daf, that mar isa mistavra arelis havelay lirbuya. It makes more sense to include arel as a psul that he may not eat truma. Why? Shekain maisim krusim bedavar ha'eved. These are just a mnemonic. Mechusar maisa, he's missing a maisa mila. Umaisa begufa, and the maisa is not just a external maisa, but it's in the body itself. V'anish kares, if he doesn't get a bris mila. V'yeshul fnei adibor, there's a mitzvah before kabbalas adara. Umidas zechar v'avadim akeves, and if his children and avadim don't have a mila, that prevents him also from eating the truma. So there's so many chumers that exist, it makes more sense to exclude one who is an aril. Adi rabba. Aninas havelay lerubui. We should include that an onen is possible from eating truma. Shekain yeshu b'chol shah. That mila is one time event. An onen could happen any time of a person's life. Now that gets banashim vanashim equally. Vein biyad lasakin asma. There's no way to fix it. You have to just wait until kavur is over. So the Gemara says la the hanech nafishim. No, in the end of the day, you're right. There are some chumras that onen has over an arel, but arel has more chumras than an onen. That's why we say an arel is possible from eating truma, but an onen may eat truma. So Rava comes along and says, Amar, below hanech nefishin, even without the number game, even without having more chumras, nami lamatis amar. So you could not have said that an onen is possible and arel is kasher. Why? Because Amar kra ish ish. What's ish ish? Eze hu davar sheyeshet be ish. The word that it's including is a double lashon ish. What's unique that a man has that a female doesn't have? Eze davar sheyeshet be ish ve'enu be'isha have omer ze arelus. So clearly the pasuk ish ish is referring to an arel, not referring to an onen. And that's how we know an arel is possible from eating truma. So now Rabbi Kiva, who did not rely on the pasuk toshev v'sacher to teach me this din, he learned it from ish ish. So what does he do with the pasuk toshev v'sacher? Hi toshev v'sacher my avilei. So Amar Rav Shmaya lasuye arve mahul v'givane mahul. To include these individuals that they're not Jewish, yet they have a mila, they too are considered, they're also going to be pasul as well. So the Gemara says, v'hani mulaninu. Are these considered mahul? So just look at Rashi for a second. It says Rashi, lasuye arve givoni mahul, shelo yochal pesach, they should not be eating karim pesach. And givoni, says Rashi, sham uma, shem uma, shemol and atman, they're nations that give themselves bris milas. So either way, even though they're a mahul, in the end of the day, we don't let them eat the karim pesach. So Gemara says, v'hani mulaninu? We consider these individuals the givonim. We consider them the arve mahul. We consider them mulin. Hatzan, the mission tells us maseches nedarim clearly. We don't view them as a mulin, even though they might have a bris milah. They're not categorized as mulin. How do we know? Konim shani nana la reilim. A person said, "I won't get hana from anyone who's an arel." He's mutter ba'arle Yisrael. And aser b'mulei of the kachamim. So it's a complete opposite. That if you have a Yisrael, Ben Yisrael, who's an Arel, he actually can get Hana. Even though he said, I don't want to get Hana from a guy who's an Arel, if a Jew is an Arel, he can't get Hana. That doesn't make any sense. But he's aser to have an Ovi kachamim who's a Mal. Why? Isn't he Mal? He's not an Arel anymore. Elamai, we see from here, it doesn't depend on whether or not a person, Lamaisa, has a Mila or not. It depends on whether he comes from the Jews who have a commandment of getting Mila versus non-Jews who don't have a commandment of a Mila. Similarly, the Mishnah says, "Konem shani nehena lemulin." I can't get hana from one who is mal muter b'mulei of the kachavim. And over kachavim is not called mulin, even though the ma'ase might have a mila. He's not called mulin. V'yaser ba'aril Yisrael, even though a Yisrael might be an aril and not mahul, he's still called mulin and also to get hana. So clearly, we don't view the non-Jews mulin as mulin. So Ella Gemara says, "You're right." So it's, in other words, it's pashut that a arve mahul and givoni mahul certainly cannot karm pesach. You don't have to address them, even when they're mahul. They're not considered mulim. So what's it coming to include? Ella must be la asuye ger shemal v'lo tavo. A ger who had a mila but did not go to the mikvah yet. Ketat v'katan shenolad kishumal, or a child who was born without a bris mila. So these individuals are not considered fully Jewish yet. The kesavar tzarech lehativ mimenu dambris. The din is that one has to have a hatavas dambris in order to complete the geirus. So Rashi writes here, katan shenolad mahul. The kesavar Rabbi Kiva katan shenolad mahul tzarech lehativ mimenu dambris. And so long as he's not done that, he's not considered mahul. So these individuals, although lemaisa they are mahul, but since they're lacking the tavas dambris, they're excluded from eating the karim pesach. Rabbi Eliezer, latame, damar ger shemal v'lo tavel, ger ma'al yehu. Rabbi Eliezer, who earlier, I mean, he's the one who goes against Rabbi Kiva. He says, Toshe V'Sachar is not coming to exclude these cases. In other words, only Rabbi Kiva, who uses Toshe V'Sachar to exclude a Katan Shinola Mahul, implies that Rabbi Eliezer, the dissenting opinion, says, a Katan Shinola Mahul may eat the Karim Pesach, may eat the Truma. Why is that the case? Because he holds that a Ger Shemal V'lo Tavol Ger Ma'al, you don't need a Tavos Dambris, because Avar Katan Shinola Mahul ain't Tarech La Tavos Dambris. He's a full-fledged Jew, and certainly can't participate in the Truma and Karim Pesach. So then the Gemara says, okay, now Rabbi Kiva, who learned the word Ishish to teach me that an Ares Pasul, so now we have to turn to Rabbi Eliezer. What does he do with the words Ishish? Hi Ishish, my Avidlei, Dibra Torah Kolashim Ben Adam. That's what the Torah speaks. The Torah sometimes speaks like human beings speak, which is sometimes double talk. They sometimes repeat a word, and not every word is meant to be used for a drasha, and that would be his response. So now the Gemara asks an interesting question. Boy Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Katan Ariel, Mahu Lusuchu B'Shemen Shel Truma. So we have a din already. We learned above that an Ariel is possible to eat Truma, either because Toshu V'Sachir or because of Ishish, but everybody agrees an Ariel may not eat Truma. Now, what would happen if a child who's born, but within 8 days, he doesn't have a meal yet? Is he called an Ariel? We know certainly after 8 days, if he doesn't have a meal, he's certainly called an Ariel. But is a child called an Ariel prior to 8 days? He's not, he can't get a meal yet. It's not chayv. Maybe Arelis only kicks in when there's a chiyav mila and you don't get the mila. So what's his status before 8 days? Now, certainly a child can't eat truma at that point. He doesn't, he just milk and that's it. So the Gemara says, no, if you rub oil on the skin, rubbing oil is considered like drinking. So can you rub truma oil on a Kohen child who's within 8 days? Is he called an Ariel? Is it Aser or is it Mutter? So again, Katan Ariel, Mahu lasocho b'shemen shel truma, arelis shelo b'zmanu makva o lo makva. Do we call an Ariel kodem zman mila? Is that called an Ariel in pasul or not? He's not called an Ariel yet, and we allowed to do this. So Gemara says, Amar Reb Zeir. Reb Zeir tries to bring a raya from the following brayso. Tashma, ein li ela milas zecharav b'shas asiya vavada b'shas achila. So we have to pay attention to the pesukim here. I'm going to read the pesukim on the side here. It says, Al tochlu. No, the first pesuk I wanted is v'chiyagur itach. If a ger and shas asiya, you make a pesach and himol lo chol zachar, you have to give a meal to all them. Vaz yakiv lasosa, then you could go ahead and be makrovit. So the focus here by the ger is shas asiya. When one gives a meal to avadim, it's shas asiya. And then in contrast to that, the other pasuk says v'chol eved. No, that's what I wanted here. Yeah, v'chol eved ish miknas kesev umal te'oso az yochal bo. So the previous pasuk about his children is focusing on shas asiya, and the pasuk about avadim is focusing on shas achila. How you know one each one makes sense? In other words, you need shas asiya, both avadim and zecharim to have milas, and also shas achila, both zecharim and avadim require mila. How do you know? So again, the Gemara says, ein li ela milas zechar b'shas asiya, that during shas asiya of the Karim Pesach, all his sons need a mila. And I also know Avadav, his Avadim need a mila also b'shas achil only. How do I know minayin litenesa amr shazeh b'zeh, ves amr shazeh b'zeh, that you require both shas asiya and shas achila, that all zecharim and all Avadim have a mila? How do you know? Tamalomer oz l'gzer shav. It says oz in the first pasuk. It says v'chiyagur itcha ger aso pesach l'ashem himola kozachar v'oz yikav aso. So, and the second pasuk by the Eved, it says v'chol Eved ish miknas kesef malta aso oz yochabal. So through the Gzeir Shava, Achila and Asiya, you need all the children, all the Avadim to have a bris mila. So now the Gemara says, okay, Bishma, I understand a case where Avadav Mishkachas La, how do you find an Eved that he wasn't Mal B'Shas Asiya, but he is B'Shas Achila? Why is that Shaykh? Meaning, shouldn't everyone, Shas Asiya is the middle of the day, Erev Pesach, and you eat the Pesach 6 hours later. So anyone who is Shas Asiya certainly will be Shas Achila, who is a shaykh under his auspices. How do you have a case where even Shas Achila also needs to have a mila? Of course, he already had one during Shas Asiya. How do you have a case where you acquire an Eved between Shas Asiya, where you didn't own him, and now you own him before Shas Achila, you need to give him a mila? So that's an easy answer. Mishlama avadav mishkachas la di'isnau b'Shas Achila v'lisnau b'Shas Asiya. Where do I have where I own an Eved b'Shas Achila, but I didn't own him Shas Asiya when I made the carbon Erev Pesach? How do I have that? In between, I bought them. In other words, I bought a Karim Pesach, Erev Pesach, I shechted. And then a couple hours later, I bought an Eved Kanani. I had nothing better to do. I bought an Eved Kanani. And by Leil Seder, we're eating the Pesach. So now Shas Achila. So in order for me to eat, he has to have the Karban Pesach. He has to have a Mila before Shas Achila. So I have a case where it wasn't there Shas Asir, but he was under my ownership Shas Achila. Ella, how do you have Zacharav Disnau B'Shas Achila V'Lesnau B'Shas Asir? Hechi Mishkach. How do you have that? How do you have a child? If the child was born between Shas Asiya, Shas Achila, you can't give him a Mila. It's not 8 days. So if he was born 8 days ago, so he should have given him a Mila before Shas Asiya. So how do you have a case where the Zman Mila is after Shas Asiya, but before Shas Achila? When do you have such a case? So Gemara says, Lava, the Shalad Bein Asiya Achila must not be where he was born between Asiya and Achila. Mama, she was born in the mid-afternoon of Erev Pesach. And Shema Mila, even though you can't give a Mila to him because it's too early, but Lamaisa, he passes you from eating it because Arelis, Shlobazmana, Havi Arelis. So again, you can't fix it because he's only day one of his birth, but in the end, he's an Arel, and he can't eat the Karban Pesach. So we see from here that Arelis, Shlobazmana, is Arelis and passes you from eating the Karban. Gemara says, no. Amar Rava, Rava says, V'tizra, does that really make sense? It says in the Pasuk by the Karban Pesach, Himo lo kol zacham rachmano, vaz yakiv la soso. You have to give a mila to them. V'hai, la barach mihilu. But a child on day one is not subject to mila. Meaning the only person who holds you back from eating Karban Pesach is one who is a chiv mitzvah mila. But this child does not have a chiv mitzvah mila. It's not really talay on arelus, it's talay on the chiv mitzvah mila. So then, since there's no mitzvah mila, because he's only 1 day old, it won't hold you back from eating Karban Pesach. So that's not the instance. So we throw away that whole discussion here. We don't have a raya, an answer for that question, whether an arelus Shlobazmana is Ariel or not. But the Gemara now goes into other instances where taka, do you have a child who is only chai mila after Asiya and Kod Mechil? When is that instance? So Ella Gemara gives like four answers. El Hachav, B'may Askinan, Kigon Shechal Tzaso, Chama. That he was very sick, he had high fever, so he couldn't get a Mila, and his fever went away between Asiya and Achila. So now he's subject to have the Mila, and you have to give him the Mila, otherwise he holds you back from eating him. The Gemara said, wait a second. V'nesiv like Kol Shiva, there's a din. We'll read the parentheses even though normally we don't, we'll read it here. Damar Shmuel, Chal Tzaso, Chama, Nosin lo Kol Shiva, there's a din. The child has a high fever and he can't get the Mila. When he recovers, you have to wait 7 days actually from his recovery. So he becomes healthy now. He loses his fever, but you still can't give him the Mila between Asiya and Achila. You have to wait another 7 days. So Gemara says, no, the Avdin lay kol Shiva. No, Taka, we gave it to him. He didn't recover Erev Pesach. He recovered 7 days ago. But the 7 days expired Erev Pesach. It happened. Erev Pesach is when now he's roy for the Bris Mila. And since you didn't get the Bris Mila, he's going to hold you back from eating the Karban Pesach. So Gemara says, well, why dafka after Asiya before Achila? Shouldn't we say v'nimlu b'tzafra in the morning? The seventh day comes in the morning. That's the seventh day. Give him a Mila before Shas Asiya. Why are you saying dafka case it after Shas Asiya? He's roy for the Karban, but before Achila. Already Kodem Shasasi in the morning, he's right for the car for the Bris Mila. Mara says, no, Ba'inan, going on to Ayn Alfam and Bez now, Ba'inan Me'eslais. When it comes to waiting the 7 days after a child recovers from a high fever, we have to wait 24 hours of Me'eslais. So if he got the fever at first, I don't know, 7 days ago, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so by the seventh day, which is Erev Pesach, he has to wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon as well, before it expires, and that's after Asiya, that's Kodem Achila, to tell me that if the child does not have a Mila by Shas Achila, he prevents the father from eating. So Gemara says, is that really true? Do you really have to wait Meis Leis when it comes to a child with a fever going down? Tatani, the Braisa says, Luda is the name of a Chacham. It says, Yom Havrasa Kyom Huladu, which means the Hivaldu, which means that the day that child recovers after 7 days is just like the day a child was born, meaning, my la, ma, yom, hivaldo, lo, ba'in, and meisle. It's just like the eighth day. You don't need to wait meisle. The child was born 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You don't have to wait 8 days till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Eighth day ready by Nate. You can give him the meal. You don't need a full 8 hours, a full 8 days rather. Af yom havrasa, so to the day of recovery of this fever, lo, ba'in, and meisle. You don't need to wait a full 24 hours of 7 days. Where it says in the law. Adif yom havraso miyom hivaldo, which means is that the day of havraso is more stringent than the day of counting from the birth. De'ilu yom hivaldo, the day from when he is born, lo ba'inan meisleis, ready the eighth day, first in the morning, you give the child the bris mila. However, ilu yom havraso ba'inan meisleis, you do need to wait a full 24 hours. Either way, the instance that we have, that whereby you have a child who wasn't roy for mila b'shas asiyah, but is roy for mila shas Achila is when a child recovered from a high fever 7 days after the recovery, Meis Leis, takes place b'shas bein b'shas asiya bein shas achi. That's the first suggestion. Then the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar, no, kagon de kaivle eina the anuko vispach beini beini. He didn't have a high fever. He just had his eyes were bothering him of some sort. He was under the weather, but it wasn't a high fever. And Rashi says only for a high fever do you have to wait 7 days, but for some other pain, other achiness, other illness, that doesn't require 7 days. So he was sick and he felt better between Shas Asiya and Shas Achila. That's his suggestion. Just look at Rashi. Rashi writes three narrow lines down. De kaivle eina liyanuka vispach. His eyes are somehow were bothering him. Only those with high fevers require that special 7 day waiting period, but not any other type of achiness or illness. And then Gemara again makes another suggestion. Rav Amar, Kagon Shahayu Aviv V'imo Chavushim Beis Hasum. No, the reason why, because his parents were in jail, they couldn't give him a bris milah. That's why. And Rashi points out here, interestingly, Rashi writes Chavushim B'shas Asiya. Umitzvas mila mutels alem. It's their requirement. Velo alachem. Now it's fascinating because there's a big discussion. The Gemara is in the Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says that the mother is not chayv in a bris mila. It's the father's obligation, not the mother. That there's a Tosafot that writes, although the mothers are chayv to give the mila to the child, the mother's chayv to the shtadel to ensure that takes place here. So it's clear from Rashi. Rashi puts the obligation both parents mutels alehem on the father and the mother, which is interesting. Now, even though the Gemara also says in Kedushin, the father and mother don't give the milah, the Bezdin has a requirement to do so. That's only if the parents refuse to give the milah. Here they're not refusing to. Here they actually don't have a choice to because they're in jail. Others say actually what it means is it's the child and parents are in jail together. It had the child been out of jail, so then Shliach Bezdin could do it. But here's an instance where the parents and child are all together in the jail where it would be impossible for them to give a milah in a proper way. So then the Gemara makes another suggestion. So again, what happened was, and then they were released, again, between Shas Asiya, Shas Achila, so then it's right for them to give a Mila, B'Shas Achila. Rav Kana makes another suggestion, Rav Kana braid, Rav Nechemya Amar, Kagon Tumtum, Shenik Venimsa Zachar, Beini Beini, Tumtum. It was unclear the gender of the child. It happens to be, the area tore open, and it became clear that this child was a Zachar, and that happened, Shabain Shas Asiya, Bein Shas Achila, whereby there's now a Chiv to give a Bris Mila. And we have Shavya Amar, he gives the last suggestion, which I don't fully understand this one, but if you have any insight or the article helps out, please let me know. Kagon Shehotzi Rosho, Chutz, the anti I get, but I guess the continuation I don't get. Kagon Shehotzi Rosho, Chutz Lepruzder. So the din is where the child's head came out, he's considered born now, you start counting 8 days of a bris mila at that point from the when his head came out, but we went back in. So you can't give him bris mila because he's not out yet, but he was considered born. But he comes out, Bein Shas Asiya, Bein Shas Achila. So now Lamais, you could give him Bris Mila. That's fine. That I understand. But now the continuation is, Michai, could such a child, if his head comes out and he goes back in, how can he live at that point? They can't live in the womb at that point. Why? Hatani, the Brisa says, Kaven Shiyatza La'avir Ha'olam, once the child comes into the world, Niftach Hasasim, Venisam Apasim, that which is open is closed, that which is closed is open. In other words, the mouth was closed in the womb, now it's open. And the umbilical cord, the belly button, was open, getting the nourishment, and now it's closed. So now he goes back in, his mouth is open, he can't eat that. You can't eat food in the womb that way, and the belly button's closed, the umbilical cord's closed, how's he eat? He can't live in that situation. So Gemara says, Shil Malik Kain, Ein Yachal L'chayis Afil Sha'achas, had not been that way, a person couldn't even live for a moment. So how is a child who's born and goes back in, with the mouth open now, and nostrils open, how does he actually live? So this is why I don't understand. Hacha b'mayaskinam kigon dizanse ishta. So somehow there was a high fever. We'll see who had the fever and the high fever, and that was somehow nourishing the child. It wasn't giving any food, but somehow the heat, the warmth, was able to sustain the child inside. So the Gemara says ishta deman. Who's a fever? Whose heat was sustaining the child? Ilema ishta diday. If it's true that the child's own warmth was somehow sustaining himself. That means once he's born, he needs to wait 7 days from that high fever that goes away. So that can't be his own fever that was somehow sustaining him. The mother was ill, so now the child was inside the mother. Somehow the warmth, the high fever of the mother was able to sustain the child inside without having to eat anything. Again, that's why I don't understand. And then I'm missing something completely here. And Ibai same alternatively, the Gemara says, Hani mile heicha de lo mave. So when is this true when it's dangerous for the child to go back inside the womb? When the child isn't crying. But when the child cries and the crying gets the heat, the blood boiling and gets upset, that generates heat internally from the child and is able to somehow sustain the child. That's the last suggestion. That's, I don't get how that the warmth somehow sustains the child, but that's the last suggestion in the Gemara. Okay. So now we've been discussing a little bit about Bris Milah and Ariel. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Bana. Ariel Mekabel Haza, Shekein Matsinu, Bavosenu, Shekibel Haza, Kishen Arelim. The din is that Ariel can be Mekabel Haza. He could, even though he's considered Tameh, he's not really Tameh, and he could Mekabel Hazas of Paraduma. How do we see this? Because we found by Avosenu. Avosenu don't refer to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, they refer to Apostle Yehoshua. What does it say there? V'ha'am alu min ha'yarden, when the Klai Yisrael crossed over the Yarden with Yehoshua ben Nun, it says that ha'am alu min ha'yarden be'etzel ha'chodesh ha'rishon, the 10th of Nisan. And the Gemara says, ba'asara lo mehila mishim mechol shed orcha. Now they didn't get a bris milah at that point because they were so weak, they were tired, they were exhausted, they couldn't get a milah. They didn't have a milah past 40 years in the milah, in the midbar, and they couldn't get one now, either because it was too exhausting. But Hazah, Amos Avilei, when did they do Hazah? They need time to do Hazah, to be Tahor for the Karim Pesach 5 days, 4 days later. Lav Kishen Arelim, is it not that they received Hazah, the Paraduma, already when they were in Arel? So you see that the Arel can't accept the Hazah of the Paraduma. And where it says, how do you know? Dilma, perhaps, we could suggest, Lo Avid Pesach Klal, maybe they did not bring the Karim Pesach that first year. They crossed over the Yarden, it was the 10th of Nisan, and they didn't bring the Karim Pesach because they were in Arelim. Arelim can't get be Metahir. No one would suggest that they didn't bring the Karim Pesach that year. The Chassidut says in the Pasuk clearly, it says, Vayasu, it's a Pesach. They brought the Karim Pesach. So how did they bring it? Weren't they Tameh? It must be that they had the Hazah when they were Arelim. So Maskela Marzutra, how do you know? Dilma Pesach Haba Betumahaya. Maybe they were all Tameh. And they didn't require Hazah because they did a Karim Pesach Betumah. And so there's no Raya that Hazah can be done on a Arel. Why says no? Amalei Rav Ashi, Tani Behedya, there's a writer that explicitly writes, Malu, v'tavlu, v'asu pischei matara. They did batara. How did they do batara? Don't they need hazah? Must be that they did hazah 7 days earlier when they already arelim, l'mahakmash v'lan, then Ariel actually can be makabel, the hazah. Marna says another statement about bris milah. Amar Rabba bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, lo nitna priya, milas, priyas, milal avram avinu. What's priya? So the truth is, there's really two stages in the bris milah. One is the removing of the Ariel, and priya somehow taking the remaining skin and pulling it back. That's called priya. So the Gemara says that priya was not given to Avraham Avinu, even though it was given to us, Avraham Avinu did not have that. Shenemar be'esahi amar, that moment with Yeshua, amar Shem el Yeshua, ase lecha charvo strum, make some sharp rocks, and then it goes on to say, v'shuv mol es be'esel shen, so give him a second milah. What do you mean a second milah? What do you mean? Second milah must be a second step. There's a second part of the milah. There was the milah, and there was a priya. That priya was given to Yeshua and not before him. Now Tosa points out that don't think that Avraham didn't have a priya. Even though Avram wasn't commanded the Priya, he certainly did do the Priya, as Tosas writes, Lo nitna priyas bal mila l'Avram Avinu, umikol makom Avram para milasam, he still did Priya nonetheless. The Alpha gav de l'nistava, even though he wasn't commanded on this, the afilu Erev Tafshin kaim, we know the Gemara tells in Yuma and Medrash, that he even fulfilled Erev Tafshin, which is Derbanan, so certainly he fulfilled the mitzvah Priya as well. Gemara then says further, v'im tomer, that's the case, imlo nitna Priya ad Yoshua, Priya wasn't given until Yeshua. How do we learn from Yeshua and the halacha? Hacks, if we say, you can't add anything on to the Torah. If it wasn't given the Torah, so Yeshua can't add a mitzvah on, even if Hashem told him to do so. It says in the Pasuk, is it, I think this week's Parsha, maybe next week's Parsha, Eila mitzvos, shein Navi Rasha lechadish davar miyata. Navi cannot be mechadish anything. So how can Yeshua add a mitzvah on to that which is written in the Chamishichum Shei Torah? Says Tosas, v'yeshlomar halacha mosh mesinahi. Really. And Yeshua esmacha akra. Yeah, Yeshua is simply an asmachta. But the truth is, the Priya goes back to Halacha Moshe Sinai, and it wasn't given to Yahavram, it was given from Moshe, and from that point on. So now the Gemara says further, so after establishing that Yeshua was the one who introduced Priyas Mila, so Dilma, Hanech de la Mahal. Maybe when Yeshua was giving a Mila, it wasn't referring to this new step of called Priya, maybe it's referring to those who did not have a Mila up until this point. Dichsev ki mulim hayu kol ha'amiyotim, which means that Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded to give milah, because many people in the midbar didn't have a milah. Where it says no, im kein my shuv. What's shuv? Shuv implies there's a second step. If it was giving everyone for the first time, okay, fine. But since the pasuk says that shuv mol es bnei shel shenis, the second milah, if you will, that was referring to the priya. El alava, the priya. The Gemara then says, my shenis, what is shenis? Shuv means referring to the second stage, the priya. What do we learn from the word shenis? The akushe, sof mila, the tchias mila. To connect the beginning of the mila, which means the maisa mila, to the end of the mila, which is the priya. Ma tchilas mila, ma kevis holds the person back from eating the Karim Pesach. So to af sof mila, ma kvimbo. In other words, if one has a mila, but doesn't have the priya, that too holds a person back from eating the Karim Pesach. So the Gemara then says further, the Mishnah tells us, Eilin titin ha-makvin is ha-mila. There's any foreskin left, it's makiv, it's not called a good bris mila. So what does that mean? Basa chofes rov ha-atara. If some of the skin there is covering rov ha-atara, that's called the makvin is ha-mila. It holds back, that's not called the good mila. Ein ochel b'chuma, that person can't eat chuma. And Amar Ravina, Ravina just qualifies a bit. V'yisema Rav Yirmiyah bar-Abba Amarava, basa chofes rov gova shatara. What it means is, if the foreskin is somehow covering most of the height of the atara, that's what's going to be called an Arel, and not called the Bris Mila. He cannot eat Truma. Either way, we see that it's Ma'akev, the Mila, and the Prila Ma'akev, the eating the Truma. So Gemara asks the question, Bamidbar, my time of Lomahal. So how come only suddenly when they crossed the Yarden did they get the Mila? Why did they not get the Mila in the Midbar? So Gemara says, Ibai Se'ema Mishim Chul Shadorcha. One says because they were just so weak, they couldn't handle it, they didn't have the strength to recover. And Ibai Seima says the Gemara Daf Ayin Beis Mishum Delo Nashule Ruach Tzfonis. They needed some northern wind, which was somehow very medicinal. Netanya Kol Osan Arbam Shana Shayu Yisob Bemidbar Lo Nashule Hem Ruach Tzfonis. That northern wind didn't blow. Rashi says that Ruach Tzfonis Nocha. It was a Nocha, very calming type of wind. Lo Chama Lo Tonenis. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. The Chama Zareches Lo Nishra Lam Ruach Tzfonis Biyom Velo Zar Chama Alem. And some of that was essential for the healing process. That was the understanding. Now, there's interesting tosas in the previous page, just for a moment, if we have time still. That's a little late, but let's do two quick tosas in for a second in the bottom. My time alo mahul, the first one. Mashma de lo mahul klal. Sounds like there's no mila at all in the midbar. But Tosa points out that in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, it's mashma, they had the mila in the midbar, they didn't have the priya. So there's a machlokas, whether there's no mila for those people in the midbar, or there's a mila without priya. Now that turns to the next tosa. Tosa asks a very interesting question. Tosa says, my time alo mahul, im tomer eich hayu ochlen. Kodshim. How they eat kodshim in the midbar, or afilu basar klal, or any meat at all for that matter, came in shlomalu. Since they did not have a mila, you can't eat basar. Why? Shlohutel hem basar taiva. In the midbar, they were not allowed to eat stam basar. The only had their meat in the midbar was ayadeya carbon, but not without a carbon, el ayadey shlomim. V'aril also bekodshim, and aril can't eat kodshim. So if it's true that they did not have a meal in the midbar, how do they have any meat in the midbar? And he says, "Vafilu im." The next, fine. I'll skip the next two lines. It's an interesting question, but go now. V'yeshlomer, last three lines. V'yeshlomer, the yotzim Mitzrayim malu faru. The people who left Mitzrayim, they had a mila and they had a priya, so they were the ones who eat it, ate the carbon. Osam achlu kachim. V'ha'yilodim, those who were born in the midbar shlomalu lo achlu kachim. Inachanami, they did not eat kachim. However, says Tosa, they were able to eat basa taiva. Why? V'basa taiva hayu mutarin shlonesu lehem miyachas shen yuchon leachlu kachim b'yidid havi atzviva ayil. In other words, only those who were able to eat kachim would kachim prevent them from eating basa taiva. That the only heter was to eat basa taiva was through kachim. But those who could not eat kachim, those who didn't have a mila, they were actually able to eat basa taiva without having to go through the avenue of the kachim. Okay, I guess we'll stop here, and Mirtz Hashem will continue tomorrow.
Our soul does not enlighten.
Okay.